Welcome to Dead Souls Social Club.
Good evening, everyone. If you enjoy our show and find our research both interesting and informative, please can I ask that you consider leaving us a 5-star review on your chosen podcast platform. Something that small really does help us out a huge amount. You can also find out more about us and our work by heading over to deadsouls.co.uk and checking us out. We are a small team of 3 researchers with more than 70 years of experience between us. You can also find us and speak to us over on Instagram. Just search Dead Souls Social Club and we'll come up. So, as always, thank you so much for joining us tonight. This audio presentation contains graphic details of death, violence, and controversial subject matter. Listener discretion is strongly advised. From Dead Souls Media, this is Havana Syndrome. I'm Jamie Black, a researcher and psychologist, and I'll be your host for tonight. Tonight's episode may sound like something out of the James Bond movies. Cold War era espionage and high-level intelligence operations. But what we're about to discuss tonight is entirely true, entirely real, and entirely top secret. To support my claims, I will share government documentation, provide eyewitness statements, share several highly acclaimed scientific reports, and quote US government officials and intelligence operatives. You see, there is a secretive sound which the Central Intelligence Agency doesn't want you to know about. They themselves don't want to admit that it exists. And that's likely because currently, the CIA are on the losing side, and they are powerless to do anything to stop it. Over the last 4 months, my colleagues and I at Dead Souls have been researching a phenomenon known as Havana Syndrome. It's reported on a little bit by mainstream media, but has received nowhere near the level of coverage that it probably should have, given the magnitude of this story. Our research has taken us to New York City to interview an ex-member of a US intelligence service, and also to Sweden, where we met with an ex-Russian military serviceman who had some interesting revelations for us. Buckle up for this one. Recently declassified whistleblower documentation has alleged that the United States Central Intelligence Agency has been lying to both US Congress and also the President of the United States. They have done so to hide the truth and to cover up a 10-year conspiracy. The allegations claim that the CIA has suppressed witnesses and also created a misinformation campaign against the general public within the United States. They have lied and withheld important information from its allies and have even abandoned their own operatives following claims that the CIA are unwilling to support them. In fact, the whole intelligence community within the US has publicly denied what you are about to hear has ever happened. But let's start at the beginning. Mysterious brain injuries reported by US national security officials who have White House staff, CIA officers, FBI agents, military officers, and various members of their families amongst their ranks have been reported over the last 10 years. Many of those with the brain injuries believe that they have been wounded by a secret enemy weapon and that they were attacked and injured intentionally. This secret weapon, they say, works with the enemy firing a high-energy pulse beam of microwaves or invisible ultrasound blasts at the target's head. Most of those injured have fought for the United States or their allies, often in secret espionage roles, and they are now frustrated that the US government has thrown public doubt over their claims. Those claims are that an adversary is purposefully targeting Americans and their friends around the world. This is the voice of Melissa. We are choosing not to use her full or real name as she still works within the governmental field in New York City. Melissa alleges that back in 2021, she was at home just outside of Miami in Florida when she was struck in the head by a crippling yet invisible force.
And bam, inside my right ear, it was like a dentist drilling on steroids. That feeling when it gets too close to your eardrum, it's like that, you know, times 10. It was like a high-pitched metallic drilling noise, and it knocked me forward at like a 45-degree angle this way.
At the time this occurred, and when she was hit by this strange force, she was stood next to the window in her laundry room at the back of her house.
My right ear was line of sight to that window while this thing was happening in my ear. And when I leaned forward, it knocked me forward. I immediately felt pressure and pain started coursing from inside my right ear, down my jaw, down my neck, and into my chest.
While all of this happened, Melissa also recalls how the battery in her mobile telephone began to swell or inflate until it broke through the case and began leaking acid. She then passed out on her living room couch due to the chest pain that she was experiencing. Melissa got medically assessed by a cardiologist who found no immediate trauma or issues with her heart. She went back to active duty later that week.
And I remember complaining to my colleagues for months after that. I felt like I had early Alzheimer's. Short-term memory, long-term memory, confusing memories, multitasking. My baseline changed. I was not the same person. If I turn too fast, my gyroscope is off, essentially. It's like a step behind where I'm supposed to be. So I'll turn too fast and I will literally walk right into the wall or the doorframe.
This account from Melissa is identical to a number of other records that we have found spanning all the way back to 2015. The first case of what is known as Havana Syndrome was logged in late 2016 in Havana, Cuba, hence the name. Employees at the US consulate began experiencing extremely sharp pain inside of their heads and within their inner ears. Officially named as AHIs by the US government, or anomalous health incidents, they began happening with increased frequency and more US governmental and military employees. As the man being discussed is a retired CIA officer, I won't share his name. He had to take early medical retirement from the intelligence agency and is now blind in one eye as a result of the attack on him. He has difficulty finding balance and cannot leave the house without an emotional support dog. He had this to say about his experience as the first reported case in Cuba. Quote,
"Then this severe ear pain started, out of nowhere. I liken it to if you put a Q-tip too far in your ear and you bounce it off your eardrum. Well, imagine taking a sharp pencil and forcefully doing that, and just kind of poking at it. Sort of both a dull and intensely sharp continual thud, 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 deep within your ear."
Another U.S. government official named Olivia Troy was the Homeland Security and Counterterrorism Advisor to Vice President Mike Pence between January 2017 to August 2020. Whilst also serving on the White House Coronavirus Task Force as Mike Pence's lead staffer, she was hit by an audible strike whilst walking outside of the White House in Washington, D.C. These are her words. Quote,
"It was like this piercing feeling on the side of my head. It was like, I remember it was on the right side of my head and I got like a sort of vertigo from it. The pain was tremendous, yeah. It took my breath away. I couldn't stand properly and my vision was very blurry."
The sound will change the way that your brain works. It impacts multiple aspects of your life. It turns them entirely upside down, inside out and topsy-turvy. Since 2016, there has been more than 1,500 reported cases of the sound occurring and impacting the lives of its victims around the world. I say victims here, deliberately. and you'll find out why shortly. The sound has actually claimed victims on every single continent, with the exception being Antarctica. The FBI, the Department of Defense, and the CIA have all dedicated millions of dollars and vast amounts of resource into countless investigations in order to try and figure out where this sound is coming from, what or who is producing it, and why it's having the effect that it is. And it seems that nobody knows the answer to these questions. But if they do, certainly no one is willing to talk about it or admit that it is a genuine phenomenon and actually happening. In 2022, the US television network CBS conducted an interview with Dr. David Relman. Relman is an American microbiologist and a professor of medicine, microbiology, and immunology at the Stanford University School of Medicine. He led a major medical study for the United States government that same year. He told reporters from CBS the following, quote,
"What we found was, we thought, clear evidence of an injury to the auditory and vestibular system of the brain. Everything starting with the inner ear, where humans perceive sound and sense balance, to then translating those perceptions into actual brain electrical signals. In addition, we also found that directed pulsed radio frequency energy appears to be the most plausible mechanism in these cases."
So what does he mean by this exactly? Well, he's referring to a focused beam of microwaves, or an acoustic ultrasound emission, if you will. Dr. Relman's study tested more than 100 government officials and their family members who have all unexplained experiences with persistent symptoms of these AHIs. In May 2024, Mark Zaid testified about these recurring AHIs before a Homeland Security subcommittee. Zaid is a Washington, D.C.-based lawyer who specializes in crisis management and litigation cases associated with national security matters. I'll post a link to the full subcommittee hearing in the episode description, should you so wish to gain some further understanding of U.S. government opinion. Zaid said during the hearing that, quote,
"As part of my first case, I was provided an unclassified memorandum by NSA in October 2014, 2 years before Havana, that revealed the existence of intelligence information concerning a foreign adversary, quote, with a high-powered microwave system weapon that may have the ability to weaken, intimidate, or kill an enemy over time and without leaving evidence. The 2012 intelligence information indicated that this weapon is designed to bathe a target's living quarters in microwaves, causing numerous physical effects, including a damaged nervous system," end quote. Today's hearing can only present a sliver of relevant information. The overwhelming majority of evidence concerning AHIs is hidden behind classified walls. Having had authorized access to classified information on this topic, but without revealing that information, it is my view that the executive branch, particularly at the behest of and manipulation by officials within CIA, is not truthfully reporting what it knows.
These AHIs have occurred against US citizens and citizens of their close allies in Hanoi, London, Havana, Vienna, Moscow, and with a number of US states. The mainstream media that have reported on this subject have got a lot of facts wrong. Then they have corrected some of those errors, and then reported incorrectly once again. This is likely due to receiving information from governmental departments themselves, potentially departments accused of being part of the cover-up. Indeed, from the same Homeland Security Subcommittee hearing, Lieutenant Colonel, retired, of the United States Army, Greg Edgreen, said the following, quote,
"My personal thoughts is that I agree with them. My personal opinions is that this is a global campaign, and it includes attacking us here at home. It is a strategic issue that is going to impact us. I have to be careful what I say here. So let me say this. Give me 20 minutes in a skiff, and I'll convince all of you. I know where the bodies are buried. I know the cabinets to look in, the questions to ask, and the people to subpoena. I will say that this is a global campaign, and it's focused on attacking our people, the best of our people. It's not the middle-range people that are being attacked. It's those that are succeeding in providing work that winds up on the president's desk every morning.
Back on June 16th, 2020, just outside Key West in Florida, police attempted to pull over a white Mustang that was speeding at over 110 miles per hour in a 65 miles per hour zone. The car didn't stop when requested by authorities, and they led the police on a 15-mile high-speed chase until it was finally hit with spike strips that were laid out in its path. Police arrested the driver at gunpoint. And a search of the vehicle found detailed information about several high-value bank accounts with more than $75,000 within each. Law enforcement also found an interesting device within the car. It looked like a walkie-talkie, and it can erase the car's computer data, including its GPS record. Quite high-tech for the average person. Police also found a Russian passport within a carry-all on the passenger seat of the car. It revealed that the driver was named Vitaly Kavalev, and he was from St. Petersburg in Russia. Body cam footage from the officers shows us that when they asked him why he ran from them at such high speed, breaking a number of Florida laws, Kavalev stated that he didn't know why he did. But police would refer the driver's details to the FBI, who would identify Kavalev as a Russian spy. Further, Christo Grozev is a Bulgarian investigative journalist and author. He is the leading investigative journalist with The Insider and a former Russia investigator with Bellingcat. Well, Grozev managed to trace Vitaly Kavalev and unearth his background. He found that, quote,
Kavalev studied in a Moscow-based military institute where he studied radio electronics. He worked on a particular focus of use of microelectronics within the military. Kavalev had all the technology know-how that would be required for somebody to be assisting in an operation that requires high technology.
After training and working for a 2-year period in the Russian military, Kavalev decided to become a chef. Now this is a strange move, as we know that it's not simple to just leave the Russian military on a whim. Especially if they have invested a lot of money training you in a specialized area, like they did with Kavalev. He immigrated to the United States and worked as a chef in New York and Washington, D.C., with little to no chef training or experience. But Kavalev was in fact a Russian military electrical engineer with a top secret security clearance. Kavalev was interrogated by the security services for more than 80 hours over the next few months. Intelligent agent Melissa, from earlier in this episode, held Kavalev under the Terrorism Act and quizzed him at length. Ultimately, Kavalev would plead guilty to evading police and reckless driving charges. He was sentenced to 30 months in prison. At the time of his arrest, there had been more than a dozen AHI attacks on US intelligence officials in the Miami area. Whilst Melissa has stated that she was struck by the Havana weapon whilst in Florida while Kavalev was serving his prison sentence, a year later, she woke to the same symptoms in the middle of the night whilst in California too. She was left in a state of disorientation.
It felt like I was stuck in this state of like disorientation, not able to function, like what is happening, and my whole body was pulsing. We're dealing with energy weapons. It's not going anywhere. Look how effective it's been. It's next generation weaponry, and unfortunately, it's been refined on some of us and we're the test subjects.
Vitaly Kavalev served out his prison sentence and returned to Russia in 2022. American agents warned Kavalev that he was in danger if he returned due to him spending so much time with American intelligence officials. Kavalev ultimately ignored these warnings. This led many to believe that Kovalev was either a sleeper agent, on a long-term mission, or incredibly naive. As it transpired, it seems the latter was ultimately the true outcome in this occasion. Christo Grozev uncovered Kovalev's death certificate dated from 2023. The certificate shows that Kovalev was sent to the front line in Ukraine upon his return to Russia and was killed in action. This was likely a punishment for getting caught by US authorities. So let's talk about the aftermath of these AHIs. What exactly is happening to those struck by this supposed ultrasound weapon? Well, all of the afflicted have reported consistent and uniform attributes. They hear a sound, an intense, high-pitched and focused noise emanating from a specific direction. If they can walk away, they are lucky, but most can't, incapacitated almost instantly. Multiple victims have noted the impact sound is akin to the aftermath of a bomb going off in movies, a muted or muffled high-pitched tinnitus effect. The sound creates a targeted pressure within your ear canal and head, often then travelling down your body via your nervous system. It sharpens and becomes unbearable, often resulting in complete blackout or loss of balance, disorientation, and loss of movement functions. Their vision becomes blurry. Everything around them begins spinning like a teenager experiencing extreme drunkenness for the first time. Lights start to hurt their eyes and they feel extremely nauseous. When they wake up or return to regular capacity, they will usually resume normal life. The sound is gone. But their symptoms will often get worse and worse over time, eventually becoming long-term chronic conditions. Fatigue, chronic repetitive headaches, vision problems, and balance issues. They lose the ability to concentrate, thus they become unable to work. They have difficulty sleeping. They lose a significant amount of memory. In particular, short-term memory dissipates almost entirely. Cognitive capabilities falter and become jumbled. And time itself often becomes confusing. The vast majority of those hit with this will often have to retire on medical grounds and live out their time in a state of mental disability. And considering some of those affected are as young as their mid-20s, this can have quite an impact on their lives. The CIA, FBI, and State Department all agree that these incidents and cases should be kept highly confidential internally. But why? The US government removed a large amount of staff from the Cuban embassy in 2017, within months after first reports emerged of this happening. It also expelled some Cuban diplomats from Washington, D.C., after Cuba issued travel restrictions against the US. All this at a time when there is meant to be a thaw in US-Cuba relations. The US State Department reaches out to leading experts across the globe, who spend several months reviewing the victim's medical data, brain scans, environmental factors, living quarters, and everything they were told, and all in complete secret. They were looking for a cause, but they were reluctant to try and figure out who is responsible for the phenomenon. 9 months after the sound claims its first victim, United States intelligence agencies are still keeping details of these incidents from the public. But then in August 2017, the story breaks in the mainstream media.
Report possible symptoms of the mysterious illness called Havana syndrome.
Mysterious neurological symptoms.
Havana syndrome can cause dizziness, nausea, even brain damage.
It's a covert sonic weapon.
The story breaks due to leaks from within the US government themselves, leaking the details to the Associated Press. The government insiders state that the sound comes from an advanced device that operates outside the range of audible sound. The State Department are, as you would expect, being all hush-hush, but medical records confirm that there is evidence of brain injuries and damage to the victim's central nervous system. But US intelligence officials state quickly and publicly, quote,
"There is, no credible evidence that an adversary is inflicting brain injuries on United States national security officials.
Well, that's a relief. But which is it? Publicly, they are denying this is an attack. But leaks are stating these injuries are very much from a new secret weapon that an enemy is using. Something smells like a purposeful cover-up. And we'll talk about why in a moment. But first, let's talk about who. The person to do that is retired Army Lieutenant Colonel Greg Edgreen again. As you heard earlier, Greg Edgreen testified about the AHIs to the Homeland Security Subcommittee. The reason he was chosen for that was because he ran the investigation for the Defense Intelligence Agency into the phenomenon. Here he is being interviewed by CBS in 2024 and describing his team's work between 2021 to 2023.
We were collecting a large body of data ranging from signals intelligence, human intelligence, open source reporting, anything regarding the internet, travel records, financial records, you name it. Unfortunately, I can't get into specifics based on the classification, but I can tell you at a very early stage, I started to focus on Moscow. One of the things I started to notice was the caliber of our officer that was being impacted. This wasn't happening to our worst or our middle range officers. This was happening to our top 5-10% performing officers across the Defense Intelligence Agency. And consistently, there was a Russia nexus. There was some angle where they had worked against Russia, focused on Russia, and done extremely well. The impact has been that the intelligence officers and our diplomats working abroad are being removed from their posts with traumatic brain injuries. They're being neutralized.
So if it is Russia that is doing this, and Russia that has a so-called advanced and secret weapon, then we can safely assume who specifically are behind the attacks. Investigative journalist Christo Grozev uncovered in 2018 the existence of a top-secret Russian intelligence unit known as Unit 29155. The unit is part of the GRU and consists of officers who are trained to be versatile in their tactics, have knowledge base and operations capabilities. They are experienced in assassinations and sabotage, and they are trained in counter-surveillance, explosives, and using poison and advanced technology equipment. In an article for Germany's Der Spiegel news magazine, Grozev wrote that, quote,
"I uncovered Russian government documentation that linked Unit 29/155 to a directed energy weapon. When I saw the document, I literally had tears in my eyes because it was spelling out what the Russians had been doing. The document is a piece of accounting from an officer in Unit 29/155. It shows that the officer received a bonus for work on the potential capabilities of non-lethal acoustic weapons. It was there, written down in black and white."
Take an educated guess which unit Vitaly Kovalev served in. In late 2017, a medical sociologist puts forward a theory to explain the brain injuries. "The sound isn't real," he says. "It's a mass hysteria, also known as a mass psychogenic illness. These weren't attacks," he goes on. "It is simply the placebo effect in reverse. The injured essentially are creating these ailments in their minds. All 1,500 plus cases." But these comments only go on to baffle the scientific community. And this is when they start referring to the injuries as AHIs, anomalous health incidents. But data from advanced imaging techniques conducted by the University of Pennsylvania definitively proves that mass psychogenic illness, environmental factors, and pre-existing conditions can be entirely ruled out. The study's lead researcher stated that he suspected microwaves were the absolute cause of these injuries. Then, a report from the National Academies of Science states in 2018 that the most plausible case and cause for the AHI phenomenon is, quote, directed pulsed radio frequency energy, a sound weapon. The number of victims in 2018 has skyrocketed, and by January of 2022, the CIA issues a report. It states that these injuries are not caused by microwaves, but environmental causes, undiagnosed medical conditions, and stress. Have you ever heard of stress causing provable brain damage and detrimental harm to your nervous system? It's a weather balloon. But just 11 days after the 2022 CIA report, another report is released by the intelligence community, and that report directly contradicts the CIA's. In March of 2023, the US intelligence community releases a final report. It states that following a multi-year investigation, the final answer to the AHI mystery was nothing. Environmental causes, undiagnosed medical conditions, and stress. This was going to be the United States government's final stance and public opinion of the phenomenon. But listen to this from the Homeland Committee hearing.
Are either of you aware of any individuals who have AHI symptoms have passed away from their ailments?
I do.
Do we know how many that you're aware of? We need to discuss that somewhere else. Mr. Chairman, are we going to be able to move into a classified setting at some point or at another time?
I think that possibility will exist at a later time.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Why all of the conflicting information from seemingly the same sources? Well, there's a clear and obvious reason for that. The CIA and intelligence community are putting out disinformation regarding the phenomenon. With more than 1,500 cases and growing at a rate of more than 100 cases per year, this phenomenon is not simply stress-related or the result of shared group placebo phenomenon. From a psychological perspective, that's simply not how shared placebo phenomena works. It's difficult to entertain, given the locations the inflicted were hit being all over the globe, in different countries and at different times. Russia's Unit 29155 were present in Tbilisi, Georgia, when American intelligence officers reported incidents there. They were also present in Uzbekistan, China, London, and Frankfurt, Germany, when incidents were reported in those locations too. Albert Averianov, the son of commander of Unit 29155, General Andrei Averianov, was seen and identified by US intelligence officers in Tbilisi when a US diplomat, their wife, and child were all struck.
I went downstairs. I first looked on our security camera, which is right beside our front door, to see if anyone was outside. There was a vehicle right outside of our gate. I took a photo of that vehicle and noticed that it was not a vehicle that I recognized, and I went outside.
This is the voice of the diplomat's wife who was struck in Tbilisi. She was shown a photograph by journalists during this interview of Albert Andrianov, and she was asked if this photograph looked like the man that she saw outside her house.
It absolutely does. And when I received this photo, I had a visceral reaction. It made me feel sick. I cannot absolutely say for certainty that it is this man, but I can tell you that even to this day, looking at him makes me feel that same visceral reaction. And I can absolutely say that this looks like the man that I saw in the street.
Similarly, British officials have reported cases where headaches, dizziness, nausea, and cognitive issues from a pulse strike have impacted UK intelligence officials working for MI6 in a number of global locations. Thus, UK intelligence agencies have been working secretly to find answers. UK intelligence conducted a series of tests in collaboration with an experimental arm of the Ministry of Defence at the highly classified Porton Down Laboratory in Wiltshire. Defence, Science and Technology laboratory analysts conducted a series of trials to determine if there was sonic weaponry capable of inflicting symptoms replicating Havana Syndrome in 2022. To do this, they attempted to create their own version of the weaponry. The trials tested such weaponry to ascertain if it could be used and targeted against officials by hostile states. The results showed that the technology was entirely possible. The UK had created their own prototype version of a device that could replicate the effects of the so-called Havana Syndrome. In response, a senior US intelligence official claimed in a Guardian interview in 2022 that Russian intelligence had experimented a lot with sound weaponry, and that the United States had also previously tested similar technology. "We know all about this," he said, further contradicting official government statements. Unit 29155 are a notorious assassination unit within the GRU who were responsible for the 2018 attempt on the lives of Yulia and Sergei Skripal in the UK. They were poisoned with the nerve agent Novichok in Salisbury. They survived the attack, but local resident Dawn Sturgis died after she came into contact with a perfume bottle believed to have been used in the attack. Members of the unit have been publicly rewarded in Russia for the testing of quote-unquote non-lethal acoustic weapons, according to official Russian state media reports. Moscow's involvement have been emboldened by the Kremlin's own boasts. In 2018, in his annual address to the nation, Vladimir Putin said, quote, "Russia has all reasons to believe that we are a step ahead of other countries in creating prospective weapons based on new physical principles," unquote. Additionally, Russian Defense Minister Anatoly Surdyukov had announced in 2019 the development of weaponry based on new physical principles. This included direct energy weapons, geophysical weapons, and psychotronic weapons in Russia's 10-year military procurement plan. The UK Foreign Office has made no official comment in regards to Russian advanced weaponry or UK trials of similar technology. But even though Russia had made these boasts in official state media announcements, Russia also dismissed accusations in March 2024 that its spies were behind the attacks. They called the claims baseless. "Any reports or claims linking attacks to GRU military intelligence operations are without merit," they continued. This is not a new topic. For many years, so-called Havana Syndrome has been exaggerated in the press, and from the very beginning it was linked to accusations against the Russian side. This, the Kremlin press official Dmitry Peskov told reporters. He added, "No one has ever published or expressed any convincing evidence of these unfounded accusations anywhere. Therefore, all this is nothing more than baseless, unfounded accusations by the media." Who to believe? What do you think? Well, back during the Cold War years, beamed microwaves were detected at the US Embassy in Moscow. Declassified documents have shown this. The beams were used to transmit an audio signal from a covert listening device the Russians had hidden within the Great Seal of the US Embassy. The United States were very aware that this was happening, however. A secret and very sincere publicly released telegram from Secretary of State Henry Kissinger to the embassy in Moscow states, quote, "Employees need not have any concern for their health, and that confidentiality is essential at this point in order to prevent press speculation," unquote. Then the ambassador came down with a mysterious symptom, which Kissinger linked to the microwaves and admitted that him and his team were trying to keep the incident quiet. After the fall of the Soviet Union, many of the best scientists in both the USA and the ex-Soviet nation teamed up together to innovate technology between the countries. A small element of that collaboration was a project which worked on up-and-coming technology called pulsed power. Both US and Russian militaries saw the promise of pulsed power, documents show. They researched weapons that didn't shoot bullets, but energy weapons that would not need ammunition, so didn't run out of bullets. But when Putin rose to power in the late 1990s, that collaboration slowed down and eventually stopped altogether. Today, what is known about this secretly researched technology is used in different ways. The LROD, or sound cannon for example, shoots a sound blast to break up protests. Another piece of equipment, called Thor, fires microwaves to take drones out of the sky. But one of these weapons lives in the Horror Hall of Fame, right up there, with MKUltra. It's called Medusa. If it is used on a human, it would incapacitate them completely. It achieves this by emitting a strong sound sensation in the human head, which disrupts the human nervous system. Medusa does this by shooting a pulsed microwave radiation beam. It was initially created for use on crowd-controlled situations, but it was discontinued in 2008 because it was proven to cause permanent damage, brain damage, to those struck by the weapon. These are pieces of technology that we know about, that uses technology that does exactly what victims of Havana syndrome are claiming is happening to them. The technology exists. The weapons exist. Both Americans and Russians know how to build them. Yet the American authorities are denying that such weapons are possible, denying that Havana syndrome exists, and that the injuries, all 1,500 plus of them, are all in the minds of those who are suffering. The British authorities are not even willing to discuss Havana syndrome at all. But of course there's a very simple explanation for all of this. The Cold War happened at a time when the world was poised for a new chapter, a global economy. Whoever emerged from the Cold War as victors would be able to set the standards for the new system. They would be able to create the rules. The Americans came out as the ultimate winners and the Russians crashed and burned, for the most part, having to start over. But when there's rules to abide by, then there's also a game to be played. The countries with the economies that matter the most, Canada, France, China, Germany, Italy, Russia, Japan, Brazil, the United Kingdom, and the United States, are all still playing by the Cold War game rules. Today, for the most part, the superpowers don't fight each other directly with their militaries. They engage in proxy wars. They conduct covert missions with plausible deniability. The advancement of nuclear weapons scares all sides into using these methods. It's called mutually assured destruction. So they fight on an invisible and secret battleground called the Grey Zone. Spies, espionage, dirty tricks, and proxy attacks. It's in this grey area where they also test and use new and advanced unconventional technology. But what no superpower ever wants to do is openly admit that any of this is going on. Sure, everyone knows it is, but it's never publicly talked about or acknowledged. Maintaining the status quo is partly about maintaining the social order and keeping consistent the appearance of normal everyday existence. But more than that, in a situation where the global order is a big game with ever-changing rules and global image is very important, to announce that you are being attacked by another nation on a fairly large scale would be tantamount to an act of war. Havana syndrome has struck more US citizens than 9/11. Havana syndrome has, by the time of writing this in July 2025, struck down more US citizens than the attack on Pearl Harbor. Both of those attacks sent the United States into devastating years-long wars. So how could the United States and its allies possibly not respond in a similar fashion if they publicly announced that Russia, or any nation, were attacking its citizens in such large numbers? How would their citizens react if they knew these truths? How would they demand retribution, even if the government did not? What would happen to that government that ignored the will of so many of its people? A lot of questions that I feel you, as well as I, know the answers to. But there's one other reason too. One other reason why the United States refuses to admit that Havana Syndrome is real and is being caused by weapons from an enemy state. The US and its allies are the most technologically advanced countries in the world. The US, UK, Germany, Japan, Canada and Australia are global leaders in science, technological advancements, military tech and research. So when an enemy of theirs demonstrates tech that is more advanced than what they have in their arsenal, how do you think that appears? What else has the enemy got that's potentially more advanced than governments and intelligence agencies might want to play down? What does all of that mean for the global order? Good night, everyone.
Thank you for taking the time to listen to our show tonight. Be sure to leave us a 5-star review on your chosen podcast platform and subscribe to our show so that you never miss an episode. Our shows aren't sponsored by any company or corporation, so any support you can give us goes a long way in supporting the work that we do. From all of us here at Dead Souls, sleep tight.